Well, good morning again. Again, good to see you all here this morning. Before we get into the message, why don't we stand up quickly, maybe say hello to your neighbor, give him a high five or something, and greet one another. Morning. Good to see you. Morning. Oh, that's okay. All right. Well, today we're just doing a bit of a one-off as we're in between our last sermon series, which was the Epistle of James. We finished that, and now we enter Advent, which is starting next week, preparation time, as we get ready for the holiday season, more importantly, the birth of Christ. And I hope your hearts are being prepared as we enter the season together. So this morning, we're going to just talk about different postures of prayer, as Scripture talks about, and the postures of our hearts as well, and just spending some time. And over the next few weeks, you'll notice as well, and this is my gift to you. My sermons will be shorter, and we'll be spending more time in worship and singing songs at Christmas that we don't often get to sing, except for this time of year. So we're going to be spending more extended time in worship that way, in terms of singing songs and whatnot. So looking forward to that as well, and as we do that together. So the Bible talks about different postures of prayer. And I'm not sure if you often have thought about it and have spent time studying about it and reflecting on it. And there's lots of things we do naturally in our relationship with God that some of us are comfortable with some things, some of us aren't with others. And even when it comes to, you know, folding our hands and praying and closing our eyes and those sort of things, you know, why do we do those things? And we want to just talk about that quickly this morning, about just, again, some different postures. And perhaps these are new to you. Perhaps you've seen them in Scripture. And for us to maybe add some of these things in our own life, in our own spiritual journey with the Lord as we think about these things. And obviously, there's a comfort level to some of these things and when we do them and how we do them, and it's sometimes it's good to practice in the privacy of our own homes as we consider what Scripture talks about. And the biggest thing, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, is what's the posture of our heart in the midst of all of this? You know, where are we at with Christ, and why do we do what we do when it comes to worship? And are we doing it for others, or are we doing it for the Lord? And that whole idea of an audience of one, and really needing to check our motives all the time when it comes to our relation with Christ and how we perceive that outwardly as well. So again, I'm just going to go through these quickly, spend a few minutes on a couple of these as we go through them together and go from there. So one of the ones that is bowing, it's something that is in Scripture, and King David talked about this. As for me, I would bow down in reverence for you. Psalm 5:7 says that. And this idea of bowing as associated with worship, you know, and you can do that. And have we ever, you know, as we bow our heads when we pray and we do that. But when it comes to bowing and praising God, there's something about it that puts us in a posture of just complete reliance onto who God is. And I'm not sure if you've ever done that before, where you sat in a position perhaps like that slide where you've just bowed in front of the Lord and just poured out your whole heart towards him. And as David talks about this, in reverence for you, reverence for God. And I think in the church universally, I think we've lost reverence for God. I believe that. And I only say that because I think sometimes the way we carry ourselves in the church and in our faith, and I saw a t-shirt years ago, it bothered me. maybe because I'm getting old, but I saw this t-shirt many, many years ago, and it said, Jesus is my homeboy. I didn't like it. He's not our homeboy. You know, it's a gangster thing. It's to look cool, to reach a generation. I struggled with that t-shirt because there's no reverence or awe who God is. And I think we've lost a little bit of that. And one of the ways I think we can express some reverence towards God is bowing before the Lord. And to come in our, again, our nakedness and just be able to sit there in a posture of just bowing. So consider that for your life. Again, this is a learning for all of us this morning, for us to perhaps put some of these things into practice. Doesn't matter where we are in the spiritual spectrum, it's an opportunity for us to do that. So have you considered bowing in your worship? Again, we're not going to ask each one of you to do that this morning. Perhaps many would flee through the back door. But maybe within your own home, perhaps with your family, maybe incorporating one or two of these through your life. Maybe as we enter Advent, to be able to do that and to bow. Again, I'm just going to move on quickly here, but just consider that. Kneeling. Again, it's something that we've seen, and people often can do it in churches as well. And you know, Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he knelt down in front of it, in front of the whole entire congregation of Israel, and he knelt. And that's what he did in reverence. And Daniel, the same thing. He knelt for his life because he was asked not to bow down to his God, and yet he did. And he gave thanks, and he bowed. And the Bible tells us what? In Philippians 2:10, that every knee shall bow before Christ in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So kneeling is a part of it as well. It's a part of our journey that we get down on our knees and we come again in postured position of just complete relying on God in our weaknesses and coming and saying, Lord, here I am. Because again, Scripture tells us every knee will bow one day. And that's the power of Christ. And so as we consider kneeling, as we consider bowing, you know, when was the last time we kneeled in front of the Lord? Whether we are at prayer time or in worship. And just again, standing in complete weakness to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. In my fullness of who I am today. And I come before you and I bow down. We should do that. It's a part of our worship. It's a part of us to be able to sacrifice a little bit of who we are to honor God. And it's a good thing to be a little uncomfortable when it comes to our spiritual journey. Because I think sometimes we can get too comfortable. You know, we don't want to do something different for the Lord because we've always done it a certain way. And it's okay to be uncomfortable, and I think we have to be good with being uncomfortable. There's an old saying, let's get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that includes our spiritual life. Let's not get into rote ways and things we've always done, and there's a dryness then to our spiritual lives. And it seeps in slowly. And years pass, and we've just done the same thing over and over again because it's a ritual. It's none of the postures of our heart. And that's the encouragement through today, is to challenge us a little bit to perhaps look at our hearts. Maybe they're a little dry. Maybe we need the freshness of the Holy Spirit to fill us, to lead us and to direct us, to shake off those things that have died in our spirit and allow the Spirit to bring something new. And we look at Scripture to lead us as we do that. We can lie prostrate as well. And we can just come falling on our face. That's a great picture of just somebody falling on their face. Nehemiah 8:6 says, they bowed down low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He fell on his face and he prayed. So we see our Lord doing that as well. And it's such a position of vulnerability, isn't it? Like when you see that picture, you can't see anything but the ground. And you're in a complete vulnerable state. And I think sometimes we need to become vulnerable in our relationship with Christ. And we fall to our feet and we come prostrate like that, knowing full well that we do not have it all together. and yet we serve a God who does. You know, when was the last time you did something like that? And not because you fainted, because you saw some blood perhaps or had a needle, but you intentionally went out of your way and decided to come and lie down and lie prostrate in front of the Lord. You know, I've been in that position in my life before. It's a humbling place to be. But there's something powerful about it. And I encourage us to consider these things as we come and worship the Lord. Lifted hands. You know, Scripture talks lots about this. You know, we think about this, and Paul talked about this in 1 Timothy. He said, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. You know, I think, you know, lifting up hands is a sign of, you know, worship. And it doesn't mean that if you don't lift your hands, you're not worshiping. We're not saying that. We're not saying this about any of these. We're simply saying, let's consider challenging ourselves a little bit. You know, when was the last time you just lift up your hands of worship to the Lord? And complete freedom and not caring what the person beside you thinks. And I know that we're at a Baptist church, and for some of us, the lifting of the hands starts here at the pocket and kind of goes here. You know, and then maybe when you feel really courageous, you kind of get up here a little bit more. And when you're full on going, you know, crazy, it's boom. And your neighbors are looking at you going, what is wrong with them? You know, I think it's good to lift up our holy hands to God. Because again, it's an audience of one to Him. And that's a challenge for some of us, and it's okay. It's okay, again, we're simply just suggesting that perhaps we can expand our hearts a little bit more to challenge ourselves to lift up our hands to God. Again, do this in your own home. Do this in a field somewhere outside. Whatever it takes. It's just, again, an opportunity for us to the posture of our hearts to worship God and to lift up our holy hands. And it doesn't mean that you're more spiritual than someone else. You have both hands in the air waving. Like, it doesn't mean that. It's about the posture of the heart. And if this allows some of us to feel like we're drawing closer to the Lord, that's okay. It's a good thing. We want to encourage it. See, I'm like a Baptocostal is what I call myself. That's kind of the mix of who I am. You know, I like to raise my hands. I like to sing loud. I don't always raise my hands. It's not something I grew up with. It's something I've learned over the years. And the Lord has challenged me as well. Just in my own quiet time over the years and just asking me. You know, there are times in my life where I was not embarrassed of following Christ, but when I would worship in a public setting, and I would look around because I was learning about the faith through others. And I'd go to these worship services, and I'd look around, and many people would just have their hands in their pockets and singing these powerful songs and these powerful words on the screen, and yet their countenance was not connected to the words whatsoever. Powerful words, and yet humdrum, hands in the pocket, looking around, checking our phones. And I'm like, I don't get it. And I had to learn what it meant to worship. Because I watched other people, and I thought, well, that's okay what they're doing, but it never struck my heart. And I remember the first time I went to a worship concert that was like, they called it concert, but it was actually just a worship setting. And I went the other way. Kind of scared me a little bit. There's a lot going on that day. There was flags being waved. Nothing wrong with all that. But for me, I was like, I'm not a flag bearer. But I learned. And I started to watch others again. I learned from others as they worship. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, lifting up our hands. Let's continue. Lifting our eyes. Now, I know we close our eyes when we pray, and that's not a bad thing. It allows against distraction, doesn't it? I know for me, I can see a bird when I'm praying, and I'm totally distracted. That's closing my eyes is a good thing. But however, there's many times I don't close my eyes when I pray. And it's interesting that Jesus himself raised his eyes to heaven when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And when he did that, And as he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he fed 5,000 people, he looked up to heaven, eyes open. And I think there's a time and place to have our eyes open and our eyes closed. When I pray with non-believers, I often keep my eyes open. I remember one time I was praying for somebody, and I was working at a drop-in center for street kids. And this guy had asked me for prayer, and I was good with it. But there's something about this gentleman that kind of didn't sit well with me. And he asked me to pray for him, but I prayed with my eyes open. And I'm glad I did, because he had intentions that weren't good. And so you have to discern between those scenarios as well. But we lift up our eyes towards heaven and our hands like this, and we gaze on Christ. We gaze on Christ. I love that. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let's go to the next one. Silence. I know some of you are thinking, Pastor Mesh, I wish you'd do that right now. It's good to be quiet. I think sometimes we have this posture in our heart to talk so much and to say so much to the Lord, and it's good. But we need to be still and know who God is in the quietness of our hearts. When was the last time you sat in your maybe living room chair and you just sat in silence and you waited for the Lord to speak to you through the scriptures? And you journal and you write down what the Lord is putting on your heart. How many times have you gone to a silent retreat where you're called to go walk for a few hours to not speak? I've been on many of those. I find them sometimes difficult because I like to talk. However, when I spend time in silence, there's something about that connection and the quietness, because we're so busy. There's so much noise in our life. See, in my car, when I'm driving in my vehicle, 98% of the time, there's nothing going on. There's no music. There's nothing. And that's on purpose. That's kind of like my solace. I spend a lot of time in my car and a lot of time praying in my vehicle because there's so much noise out there. And I love the silence because we get to hear from God. And I think sometimes in our lives, we don't want to spend time in silence or quietness because we might be afraid of what the Lord might say. Because we're so busy. And in the busyness of our lives, it's really hard to dial in that radio frequency to God because there's so much going on. And I think sometimes we're just afraid to stop because we'd much rather be busy in this life than sit with the Lord. And yet many of us think busyness equals godliness. That's a lie from the pit. I think if we're too busy not to spend time in silence in our lives, we got to look at our schedules and ask ourselves the question, why am I not spending time in quietness? I dare you to try it. Try it for 5 minutes a day. Give it a shot. Maybe 2 minutes for some of us. Maybe even 15 seconds for a few of us. But let's give it a shot and see what happens. There's something beautiful about the silence. Lifted voices. You know, David again talks about this. Voices rising to God and he will hear me. Psalm 77 talks about that. And I love it. And I've said this before. And I said it a couple weeks ago that we should be singing so loudly in this building that our neighbors are going to complain about us. Amen? But let's be honest. Struggle. I think we struggle with that. That's not a condemnation. It's an observation. And I think we should be lifting up our voices and shouting out the praises of God. There's feedback in that. When people sing as a worship leader up here, not me, I'll clear the building out, but as worship leaders up here, as you are engaging in the singing, it encourages them. It's like a comedian. Now, this sounds silly, but listen to me for a second. The principle is the same here. When you have a comedian and they get laughs, that encourages that comedian to keep going, to keep sharing. It's the same thing here at church. When you hear the voices, when you hear people singing the praises of God, our worship leaders are encouraged. Your neighbors are encouraged. The Lord Jesus is pleased. It's good. It's so good. For myself, when I preach up here or any church, and I see engagement from the people, I get the amens and the hallelujahs, praise God, I want to keep going. But often I look around and I see, I don't know what I see. Quite frankly, I see a lot of glazed looks. I see a lot of apathy, it seems like. Body language tells us a lot. So I am not saying you need to stand up there and have your eyes wide open and staring at us. And that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is our body will tell us what we're actually meaning. So let's smile a little bit more. Let's worship God with more enthusiasm and take that little step, whatever it takes for us, to show that our voices are being lifted up so those voices can reach the throne of heaven. Something good about when God's people come together and worship. Oh, it's so good. So good. It brings me to tears often. And I've said this before, if you're not liking singing now, how are you going to handle heaven? Because that's what we'll be doing the rest of our lives. And we're praising Jesus forever. Awesome. So where are you at? I encourage you to lift your voices higher and higher. Not for me, not for our worship leaders, but for Jesus. Let's mean what we sing on the screen. Can I get an amen for that? Can I get some buy-in for that? So next Sunday, I want to get a noise complaint from the town. I get that enough when I sing it, so it's okay. Crying out. You know, this is simply crying out to God in such deep reverence, but also in the pain of where we live, that we cry out to God with our tears and our pain. Have we done that before? You know, in Revelation, talks about a loud voice. 20 times this happens in 22 chapters. This loud voice of sounding out to God. I remember years ago, I was going through just things in my life, and I went to a field, middle of nowhere. I got out of my car, I walked into some farmer's field, and I cried out to God with every part of my being. And I cried, and I shouted, and I raised the name of Christ, and I read scripture out loud. And I cried out to the Lord in the loudest of my being, not caring who heard me. But in that moment, there's something rich about that time. It was reverent. I just felt and sensed the presence of God because I came in my complete brokenness. And there's something good about that. And we live in a place where this is very possible for us to do. Many of us have huge acreages where you can just show up in your yard and go for a long walk in the woods and exactly do this. Perhaps some of you need to do this today. Perhaps there's something going on in your life. You just need to cry out to God and go to the field or go wherever you need to go. Cry out your heart. Read the scriptures. Get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to continue to lead your life. Maybe you need to do that. You talk about stretching yourselves. That's a good thing right there. Now, there's so much more we could cover this morning, but I need to wrap this up. See, I think what's going on in this world, many false religions and others have taken some of these biblical concepts and have put the wrong focus. It's been about us. It's been about me. This is all about God. And he's the center of our worship. And I mentioned this earlier. What matters the most is forget the external factors for a moment. What matters the most is the posture of our heart. what's really going on. The Bible tells us that we need to have a humble heart. We'd have a humble heart. That we should have a pure and undivided heart. That we confess and forsake the contamination of sin. That we rely confidently on who God is to change us from the inside out, not by anything of this world. And we ask the Lord to lead us. What is the state of your heart this morning? What is the posture of your heart this morning? Are you contaminated with sin? Is this something you need to talk about with the Lord, perhaps others? I talked about this a couple of weeks ago about how we should confess our sins to one another in a safe environment. Psalm 19 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, and my strength and my redeemer. Where are we at this morning? I gave us a few things to consider when it comes to our postures of worship. But our heart matters in all of this. It doesn't matter what we look like, what we sound like. If our hearts are divided, if our heart's about raising ourselves up and not Christ, we need to quickly make that right. And let's be clear about this too, that there are times in our life where somebody else is going to be sitting on the throne of our life. Have you told anybody who's sitting on your throne? Perhaps it's something else that has replaced Christ. And I said this before, I think we need to be able to share these things with one another with encouragement to help get Jesus back on the throne of our life and to remove whatever's there, that idol. As much as we think we don't have idols in our lives, we all do. And in order for us to have a heart that is postured towards Christ, that is undivided, that is not contaminated with sin, we need to be humble. We need to be authentic and transparent in a relation with Christ and with other people. And I believe the Holy Spirit will take our vulnerability in our weaknesses, because that's when he becomes strong in who we are. And God will continue to do great things through us. Not because of anything we're capable of, because of Jesus. I'm not sure about you guys. I want to be used by God to further his kingdom. I don't care about my legacy. I don't. I care about the kingdom legacy I'm leaving behind. You can say all what you want about me, but the only thing I want people to remember about me, yeah, he wasn't perfect. He stumbled towards heaven every day, but he loved the Lord. And I want to point people towards Christ. And I want to worship the Lord. And I am not perfect in this. But friends, as we are in Christian community together, we can do this together. Let's spur one another on. Let's cause each other to be a little uncomfortable for the kingdom. Let's stretch ourselves and look at the posture of our hearts so we can continue to be challenged in the posture of our worship. Let's pray. Lord, this is a good morning. I thank you for so many examples in Scripture of how we can worship you. And Lord, I pray this morning, today, there be a freshness for every single one of us, for those watching online, for our kids, that we would be able to come into your presence and be able to be fully submitting to you in everything you've called us to do. And Father, if that means for us that we look at our hearts and perhaps there's a dryness there that has impacted our lives over the years, and our worship towards you has become mundane, it's become dry, it's become predictable, it's become about us. Father, I pray you shake those things in Jesus' name. and loosen those things. And Lord, that you draw the Holy Spirit and pour out fresh water for us as we look to your word. And I pray we'd see your word in a way that we've never seen it before, and it would be illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we would continue to grow more in a relationship with you, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that we don't need to put on a show. So, Lord, I pray our hearts are pure. And in those moments when they're not, in those moments where we live in the flesh and we make it about us, I thank you. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, we'd always have a heart that is full of repentance, that we always come back to the cross and the forgiveness that lies in Jesus Christ. So bless each one. Thank you for each one. We ask this in Jesus' name.